You are a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We pray for those people, Lord, caught up in that accident. And we do pray, Father, that we thank you that the emergency services were there, but we pray, Father, that their injuries will not be life-threatening and they will soon recover. Father, we pray that you bless all who are seeking to help people in their time of need at this time. And we do thank you that we can gather together around your wonderful word. And as we pray, Lord, now this morning, that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to your truth. And just bless us abundantly as we look unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was reading through the notes that were sent to me from Roots, and I was intending to follow and be a good boy and follow the program, but as I was reading through those notes, I really got, I wouldn't say sidetracked, I believe the Lord is in it, but I really got enthralled in just one message, one particular point that I want to bring to you from the scripture from 1 Kings chapter 19, which is the story of Elijah and how he ran away from Jezebel. And I was just taken up with this, and I want to share some thoughts with you as we go along this morning. I do believe that this is what God wants us to look at. Chapter 19 of 1 Kings, the first 21 or the first 16 or so verses. 16 verses. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up, ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord our God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet." I've always found Elijah to be a very stimulating character in my memory. You know, when you hear things, at least I'm told this is when you get old, you know. When you hear things, your brain clicks into reverse and goes back to memorable times in your life, whatever that might be. It might be a piece of music, it might be a smell, it might be just a mention of a word. Well, Elijah always takes me back to the front room of my old little chapel where I was brought up. And we had a young boys' class, a young men's class. We thought we were really big, you know, the top class of the Sunday school. And it takes me back to this time because our teacher there was one of the ministers at our church. And he took us through the book of Elijah. And for the first time, I remember, you know, really getting into this story and really getting excited at the life of Elijah. And it just reminded me, this teacher, he just brought Elijah alive to us young lads and challenged us to live for God in our generation. But Elijah bursts onto the scene from nowhere, as it were, and he walks into the palace of the king and says, "There's not going to be any rain till I say so." Bit of an arrogant statement, wasn't it? But he had the anointing of God to say it. And with prophetic fire and zeal, Elijah commands this king, this evil, wicked king Ahab, that God is going to punish Israel for all their sin. Elijah disappears from the scene for those 3.5 years and then appears back. He's very unpredictable. They look for him everywhere. They can't find him. The Lord hides him. And Obadiah the prophet, the king's servant, when he sees Elijah, and Elijah says, "Go and tell Ahab, I'm ready to see him now." Obadiah is worried that Elijah is going to disappear again. And Elijah gives him his word, I'll stay here. But isn't this what Jesus said in John chapter 3 would be of the people who are living in the Spirit? He says, the wind blows where it wants to. And you don't know where it's come from, you don't know where it's going. So is everyone who lives by the Spirit of God, because God cannot be predicted. God doesn't fit a pattern. God doesn't fit a program. We cannot predict God. We listen to the weather forecast, don't we, when we're going on holidays, and we get disappointed when it doesn't turn out, you know, and the winds change, winds move, and it's very, very unpredictable. And God cannot be put into a laboratory. It's great to have Bible study, but we'll never be able to analyze and understand God. There are no simple equations. I'm all for church growth and evangelism and mission, but you can't say that A plus B equals C, because God throws a Z into it somewhere and it just isn't right. What works in one church? It's great to read of successes in one area, but when you try, you think it doesn't work. Well, what was one for one may not be for another. God is just an amazing God, and he works in wonderful ways. What he calls for us is not to look for methods, but to look for him, to seek him and to seek his presence, to seek his anointing. You see, what gave Elijah this great courage that he had was that God spoke to him and God sent him. So he knew he was on God's business. He wasn't just trying to live a good life and doing his best. God had spoken into his life, and that was something that was very important in the life of Elijah. When he stood before Ahab, it was the highest place of the land. But what did Elijah say? "The God before whom I stand." I might be standing before you, but I stand before someone greater than you. I stand before the God, the Almighty God. And in that confidence, he was able to execute what God had called him to do. And there's a great lesson here. Because the book of James in chapter 5 and verse 17 reminds us very simply. He says, Elijah was just like us. And when I look at him, I think, he doesn't look very much like me at times, I tell you. But he says, Elijah was just like us. He was flesh. Yet he prayed. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And when he prayed again, it did rain. It's telling us here that Elijah was not Superman. And he wasn't something special that we are not. He was human. He was just the same as us. He had the same opportunities. But he trusted in God and he was able to do what he did because as a human being, he believed God and he stood before God. He sought the word of God for his situation and he lived in it and he lived it. But because he was human, we come to this episode and we find that suddenly his courage leaves him. And I'm so glad that the Bible shows us both sides of Elijah. I'm so glad that it shows him a side that I can equate with and I can see myself here. Because he began to be afraid and he ran away. He'd done so much for the Lord. But when Jezebel threatens him, he breaks. He crumbles. And in some ways, as I read this story, it's always puzzled me how he could be so great and then suddenly become so afraid. But you see, the only answer that we have for that is what James tells us. He's human. And there are times when we are just so confident of God's presence in our life. And there are times when we've been to meetings and God has spoken to us and we know just what to do. We know what he wants us to do. And there are great blessing times in our life and experiences of God's move in our churches and in our lives. But suddenly there seems to be no word. We come into a situation where we think, well, Lord, what do we do now? And here is where Elijah, although I'm not saying that he ran away completely, but he experienced what we experienced, a time when he didn't know what to do. And for a time we can all run well, and when God is close to us, but sometimes it's our own fault. We spoil it by a blatant sin. We do something that is wrong. But there are many times where we don't know. We've just been going on doing the things that we feel God wants us to do. And suddenly we feel that God has left us. We can't put our finger on it. Well, let's learn the lesson that Elijah teaches us this morning. When you feel like running away, run to the Lord. He ran to God, and in his desperate need, he wasn't, in a sense, running away from Jezebel. He was, sort of, in one way, but in running away from her, he ran to God. He ran, and he said, I must get a word from God. I must know what God wants me to do. So at that time of not knowing, he didn't give up and panic, but yet he said, I must know what is going on. He felt afraid and alone. He didn't feel that God was with him. He was overcome with fear. And it's difficult to understand how Elijah, you know, could be so afraid after just a few moments ago. He'd been standing on Mount Carmel with 850 prophets of Baal and defying them by standing in the word of the Lord and commanding fire from heaven. What an amazing victory that was. And yet here we see a man cowering under a tree, praying to God, take my life, it's too much for me. You see, feelings can cause a lot of problems. And if we run our lives and govern God by how we feel, then we will be going down a very dangerous path. He felt that he was in danger, but he wasn't. He was under threat, but Jezebel was no match for God. There's times when we need to step back from the situation. Take a broader look. Be like David as he ran towards Goliath. He wasn't afraid because beyond Goliath, he saw a bigger God. He said, my God is going to give you into my hands. And we need to step back and get a real and a renewed vision of God. He did run, but he teaches us that we need to run to the Lord. Cast all our care on him because he cares for us. And when over, and we live in days when fears can hit us and things can happen that we haven't planned, and they can knock the chocks from underneath us, and we can feel absolutely stranded. But that is the very time my mother used to have a phrase, when you get to the end of your tether, tie a knot in it and hang on. You know, and I always remember that's one of those times, you know, when you feel that everything's gone, you just hang on to the Lord and you know that he's going to give you an answer. Because Jesus promised, did he not? I will never leave you or forsake you. And God cannot deny his word. And so in those moments of panic, yes, we feel fear. We feel that we don't know what to do. We feel absolutely lost. But that's the time we need to put everything to one side. Even his servant, he said, you stay here at Beersheba. I've got to run to the Lord. I've got to go and find out what's going on here. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he went to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. It wouldn't be easy. It was across the wilderness. And he traveled there on with that one food that God had provided for him. But it was worth it because there he met with God. He knew that it was necessary to recapture that anointing. He knew what it was to walk in the anointing. He knew what it was to walk in a word from God and to know what God had told him to do. He could stand before Ahab. He could stand before the prophets of Baal, knowing that what God had told him was going to happen would happen, and that God would be with him in all things. He had the presence of God. But when his feelings and circumstances around took his eyes off the situation and he felt that God had left him, he ran to God. I must renew that experience. And by faith, he sought the Lord. And that's a real lesson that we need to learn in these days. There's something more wonderful than serving God, and that is being with him. Just being in his presence. Being with the Lord all the way through Scripture. Yes, God has a lot for us to do. But you know, like us with our children, we just love them to be with us. We love to be with them. And God wants us to rediscover our purpose, our sonship, our existence in him. He has called us to work with him. One of my favorite verses is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, where it says, we are laborers together with God. And God is with us even in those labors. So when there are times come when God seems to have stepped back a bit, that's time for us to step back a bit. And just to seek God's presence. And not to go off on any particular highway where we're not sure of where we're going. Let's be sure of what God wants. Let's seek his presence. God does not withdraw out of spite or punishment, but he wants us to keep close to him. And there are times, sometimes, when we get ahead of ourselves, when we get into God's blessing this, so we keep doing it and doing it. And God may seek us to change. And when he wants us to change direction, sometimes he'll withdraw so that we'll seek his guidance for the future of our lives. And even though Elijah lay under that broom tree and felt like giving up, this must be the end, he thought. It's too much. I can't bear anymore. I've done everything for God and now my life is threatened. I'm the only one left. But we're not on our own. And God's word is full of promises, full of the promise of God that we are not on our own. We've just been celebrating recently Easter and Pentecost, and these are vital festivals in the church calendar that remind us of God's power, of God's love, of God's provision. He is risen. We serve a living Savior, and he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. And so despite the circumstances, God calls us to keep our eyes and on Jesus. In Hebrews it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the previous chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, had given an account of men and women who'd put their faith through very difficult situations. Many of them going through very much persecution and difficult lives. But God was with them. And so chapter 12 begins by looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him, because he will not let you down. It's just as well God didn't answer Elijah's prayer, isn't it? Because Elijah prayed that he would die, and God had more purpose for him. And it's just as well sometimes that God doesn't answer some of our prayers. The way we get carried away so selfishly, oh, woe is me, and all the rest of it. But God has a wonderful purpose for our life. You see, when God comes back, it draws back slightly, and we get a little bit out of step, that's times when sometimes the devil gets into our lives, and it's not fair, is it? We think, you know, it seems to go from bad to worse. But you see, God needs to know, and we need to know, what do we really want? He was searching the heart of Elijah, testing him. And Jesus asked so many people that came up to him for healing. He knew jolly well what they needed. But he said, what do you want me to do for you? And you know, there are times when Jesus says this, not because he doesn't know, but he wants us to keep in step with him. Yes, he wants to give us what we want, but we need to remind ourselves that what we want is the will of God for our lives. What do you want? What did Jesus pray in the garden? Nevertheless, not what I want, but your will be done. The devil says you're finished, you've blown it. Circumstances, you can't see the success. They're just lies. Because if we have done what God wants us to do, we couldn't do any better. We couldn't do any more. Because it's God who gives the increase. We are just laborers together with him. And God just wants us to run to him, to be assured by him that we can get back in step with him, that we can walk with him all the way. Marvelous promises. God has made us. And God has a wonderful purpose for everyone's life. And when we come to Jesus, when we find salvation by trusting God through Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, we are bought by the precious blood that was shed there for us. We've been brought into the family of God. And God reminds us that he is faithful and he will do what he has promised to do for us. We may fall, we may fail, but we're not finished. God has a work for us. And what he needs to ask each one of us from time to time is, what is your dream? He needs to remind us of what our desire is. What did we say when we came to know the Lord? Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, I want to know your will for my life. Exactly. That's what he wants us to hear. Wants to hear from us. That we come to him, Lord, I just want to live for you. I want to know what you want me to do. I want to put my faith in your word. The writer to the Proverbs very wisely writes, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And it's only when we fully put our trust, and trust means to let go of all those fears and doubts that that can spoil our lives. Faith and trust in God clears the way and shows us the vision and renews our purpose in him. You see, we need to know who we are in God. God sent an angel to minister to Elijah while he was under the tree. And that showed him that he hadn't blown it, because God was ministering and helping him, reminding him who he was. It was another step in regaining his anointing. He was teaching us that we have to have a renewed concept of who we are in God. You know, if I had asked you, what do you think of angels? What do you think angels are like? You probably would think of angels being mighty and powerful beings, much better than you are. But the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ, and the angels are our ministering spirits. That God sends the angels to minister to our needs. And when this angel appeared to Elijah, he didn't bow before the angel. The angel ministered to him. And so it is that God wants to remind us that he will build us up. He will strengthen us as we lean on him. Elijah was on his way back. He wasn't quite there yet. He was still thinking very negatively. And we're very good at that, aren't we? We're very good at being negative. He was still lost. He wasn't right in step with God. We have a phrase, he was living on Pity Me Street, you know? You know where, have you ever been on Pity Me Street? Oh, woe is me, you know? Well, you might walk down Pity Me Street, but for goodness sake, don't buy a house there. Don't live there. He'd lost his vision. Yes, you can feel sorry for yourself for a little way because you're human. But remember that this is not where God wants you to live. He has lifted you above these things. He's lifted us, joint heirs. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We need to remind ourselves that we are not bound by the circumstances. When I was going to the doctors the other day, I passed someone I knew. And I said, "How are you?" And she said, "Well, under the circumstances, I'm not very well, not doing so bad." And I carried on, and I was sitting in the waiting room, and I was thinking about what she said. I said, "What's she doing under the circumstances?" You know, we can be ill for a certain time, yes. But as Christians, you know, God has called us to be above the circumstances. And God wants us to get a fresh vision of what is really happening in the world. Even when we're thinking of what's happening in Gaza and many of the places in the world, we rely on the BBC, sadly. And the BBC is the biggest propaganda unit in the world. You know, and it's only telling you what they want you to know. We don't really know what's going on. And in our lives, even now, when circumstances surround us, we need to ask God, what is going on? Elisha, who followed Elijah, remember, was surrounded by the forces, and Elisha's servant was panicking. What do? We're doomed. Like Dad's army, you know. We're doomed. We're surrounded. But Elisha just said, "God, please open his eyes." You know, quieten him down. "Please open his eyes." And when his eyes were open, what did he see? The armies of God protecting him. You see, we need to recognize with a true vision of what really is going on. Those of you that wear glasses, you know, we've got to keep them clean, haven't we? And sometimes when I've been busy, I was helping my daughter yesterday, where she's moving into a new home. And a new home, it was a wreck when I went yesterday. They'd been knocking down walls, they're doing the kitchen, and there was dust everywhere. And when I came home, I drove home, and my wife straight away said, "Your glasses are filthy," you know. And you know, when I went like that, I thought, yes, the sun's shining, you know. You know, and it's dirt on your glass can hinder the vision, can cloud the vision. You can't see clearly. I heard someone say the doubt is the dark room where all our negatives are developed. Don't doubt. When you begin to doubt, you know there's something wrong, because you're not facing your vision on God, but you're facing your vision on the circumstances. And that's what Elijah was doing. And God had to get his vision off the circumstances and back onto God, focused on what was really going on. And we need to have faith and focus on God's word. That's what's really happening. God's truth. And God works on a need-to-know basis. And he will only let us know what we need to know. But we need to know that he knows what he's doing, and we trust in him as we go step by step. He was determined to find God, and God said, "Well, wait in the cave, and I'll come and see you, and I'll speak to you." And we need to know, he said, "My presence is come." We need that presence of God. We need to get back seeking God in his word, reading. And very often, not only those scriptures which give us everlasting promises, but personal scriptures can speak out to us and give us fresh guidance. And as we wait on the Lord, he will speak to us. So Elijah waited. First came the wind. God often spoke through wind. At Pentecost, there was a sound of a mighty wind. It didn't really blow them off their seats or break the mountains, but there was a sound of a mighty wind. And in so many revivals down through the years, God has blown wind and sounds and things like that. That may be the answer at times. And we need to seek the blowing of God's wind, as Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit. Seek the moving of the Holy Spirit. As a good sailor, find out which way the wind is blowing and put the sails of faith up so that we can be blown along with God. But that's not the only way that God speaks to us, in the action and in the power of the wind. Secondly, an earthquake came. Whenever God spoke to Moses, the earth shook. The disciples prayed in Acts chapter 4, and the building where they were shook. And many other experiences that can happen. I've only been in one earthquake, and it was quite a frightening experience. It wasn't of God, but it was an awesome experience. But it's not the only way that God speaks. But we mustn't despise God's methods. It may be what he is saying. He listened to God. God moves in many ways. but it wasn't in the earthquake. Then the fire came, and Moses heard God in the burning bush, didn't he? And there was tongues of fire at Pentecost, and God had just sent fire on Mount Carmel. Elijah experienced the fire, but not this time. When the fire came, God wasn't speaking to him in the fire. Elijah had moved a lot in the supernatural, and we desire to move in God's power. And when we see, and many people see and hear of things that are happening throughout the world, they rush off to be part of it and see it. And not that that is wrong, because God is at work all over. But God has something special for each and every one of us. And God teaches us a very basic lesson in every situation here, that he needed to learn to listen to God in the stillness. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like quiet. You know, I go into our house, the first thing I do is turn my tape recorder on. I love music, and I like, not noise, but I'm not so keen on silence. But there's a precious silence to spend still, time still with God. There's nothing special about quietness. There might be to some people after the kids have gone, you know, and after everybody dies down. But there are special quiet times that God wants you to have with him. In heaven, it's a very noisy place. We've been studying Revelation. Lots of choirs and hundreds and thousands and millions and all of the rest of singing and singing. And then all of a sudden it says, and there was half an hour quiet. I bet that was a relief, yeah. And in one way, you know. Yeah, they had a half hour of quiet. But the important thing was not the quiet here. The important thing was that God spoke in that quietness. And God wants us to be quiet so that we can hear him. There's lots of busyness, and busyness is not just going on doing things. Busyness can be in the mind as well. We need to chill. We need to be still. There's a need, as Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Because we need to hear God. We're listening to all the thoughts, aren't we? We're listening to all the things that's invading our life and telling us how everything is going wrong, and the devil is clouding on and crowding in on us. But we need to shut those noises out and listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Remind ourselves of God's goodness. Learn to trust and obey. And that's when the peace comes. That's when the knowledge of God's presence in your life comes. When you realize that above all the circumstances, God is God. And he sent Elijah back where he'd come from. But he sent him back carrying the anointing, not a burden this time. He sent him back. He recommissioned him. God had not changed. He said, Elijah, go and get back on. Get back on with the job. Yes, you've wasted 40 days and 40 nights running here. It possibly need not have happened if Elijah had kept his faith and kept in step with God. But it was a lesson learned, and we need to learn our lessons too. We need to seek God above all else. To seek his face. What does God want? Recognize who we are in God. We are his children. We are his precious ones. Recognize what we want. Do we truly want the will of God, or do we want our own way? Do we want what we want, or what somebody else has got? God wants his will for our lives. We need to stop listening to negative thoughts. Stop listening to the things that are going to cause us to doubt whether God is with us. And listen to God in his word. Study to be strong in God's word. Study to apply. I love that verse in John chapter 1 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I believe that God wants this word to become flesh in us, so that we can know the dwelling of God in us. That we can know the power of God, the anointing of God on our lives. You know, when I read the Bible, I see that God has something special for everybody. And God doesn't want us to miss out. He doesn't want us to just be observers or passengers. There is a special task for every one of us. So don't quit on God. Because God, no matter who we are, no matter where we've come from and what we've done, We need to keep in step with him and he will use us amazingly. Don't let the devil win and put you off and miss out on God's blessings. You know, the devil only wins when we let him. When we stand on the word of God, he hasn't got a look in. Jezebel might have been strong, but God was stronger. And God wants to send us on our way as anointed people. God wants us to know that we stand and before the presence of God, that we walk in the presence of God, so that in turn we can anoint others and inspire others by our lives, by simply doing it God's way. We need to let the Holy Spirit fill us and flow through us in all things. Listen to what the scripture says. Oh yes, there are many of us might think, well yeah, that's for the ministers and the evangelists and the missionaries. But Joel chapter 2 says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. You see, dreams and visions are the language of the prophet. And God has called us all to be a prophetic people. God has called us to be his prophetic people. Not pathetic. Sometimes we are pathetic because we give up so easily, but prophetic, receiving his revelation. He is showing us every day what he wants us to do, building us up in our faith. In the last days, now, God is wanting to bless all of his church, and it may be different from somewhere else, but God will bless us according to our needs. And that means each and every one of us where God has placed us, young and old, men and women, walking together in the purposes of God. You know, as we read the Bible, as I read the Bible, you know, I find that as long as I'm part of the church, I'm part of God's purposes. As long as my faith is in Jesus Christ, he's got a plan for my life. God didn't create me and then scratch his head and think, what am I going to do with this one? You know, he had a plan before he made me. He's the great inventor. And so the tools of the inventor are made to serve a purpose. And each and every one of us was created for a purpose. We have a place in God's program. We're not also rans. We're not extras wondering whether we'll ever get a part. But we are part of God's plan. The two men that were going from Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus after Easter, they were downhearted because they'd built their hopes up in Jesus, but their hopes had been built up in a nationalistic, patriotic sort of way, not in a true spiritual way. And so their dreams were broken. They didn't understand what was happening. I know it says that Jesus stopped them from recognizing him, but when I read it, I think, well, they couldn't have recognized him because they were so full and so clouded with all their doubts and disappointments that they couldn't see Jesus before them when he came. But he ministered to them. He walked with them along the way. He opened the scriptures to them. And bit by bit, he gently opened their hearts and minds to what was going on. He put their broken dreams together again and showed them that all of these things were fitting into God's plan. It wasn't a failure. God knew exactly what he was doing. And they didn't have to panic. They recognized Jesus. And so they realized, like Elijah, that they had to go back. And they had to run back to Jerusalem. That was the anointing. They said, we've seen the Lord. That's the anointing. We've been in God's presence. And it's all what he promised. Everything is according to plan. And so whatever it costs, I pray that this morning you will seek God and what his will is for your life and for your church. Find God's presence and stay in it. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit to keep that anointing and not allow the circumstances to put you off. One of the other readings that was in the Roots book was Peter walking on the water in Matthew chapter 14. And you know, we often forget that Peter did walk on the water. He got out of the boat and he did walk on the water. But then he started to look at the circumstances. That's when he began to sink. And sometimes we have a sinking experience when we take our eyes from off Jesus. And God wants us to keep focused, to read his word and say, yes, that's for us. That's the way I'm going to believe. Not according to the circumstances. Not according to what's going on. The feeding of the 5,000. Andrew said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? What a negative guy, you know. You know, it was true in the physical, but in the spiritual, no. When Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he fed 5,000 and more people. And we must never look at the circumstances, never look at the people that we've got, never look at the circumstance we're in. We must always look unto God before we start and get into the plans. It's his plan that matters. And like Elijah, he ran in the anointing. I pray that this morning we will seek God's anointing. We will seek God's purpose for our lives. And collectively seek God's purpose as a fellowship. That we may not just get into any ruts and any routines that can't be changed by God when circumstances may cause us to look to God. And we may have to continue. We may have to change. But God will guide as we keep our faith in him. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are a faithful God and that you know the plan through and through. We only know the parts that you reveal to us, Lord. And so we would come like Elijah and say, Lord, speak into our hearts this morning. Society would say that we've got to keep quiet. Society and the propaganda that's going on around us would seek to stop the work of God going on in the world. All weight may seem against us, but Lord, we know that you are for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We stand in you this morning, Lord. And we pray that the witness of your people in this area would be strong. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to stand firm on your word. And that we would believe in your presence and in your power. Help us, Lord, to follow your guidance. Help us to hear your voice in the stillness. Help us to block out all the negative thoughts. And help us to hear your voice saying to us, this is the way, walk ye in it. Guide us, Lord, for your glory and for your power. In Jesus' name, amen.